You guys want the blue chairs? The masala chairs?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the masala chairs?
No, okay.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Help, help, O Allah. A devout Arif person once said, if I were to become aware of someone who has remained steadfast on belief that Allah is one, yani Tawheed, for 50 years, and a wall comes in between us and thereafter he dies, I would not be able to testify regarding his Tawheed with conviction, as I do not know what transformations have taken place since his life. Imam Abu Muhammad al-Sahal rahmatullahi alayhi would say, the Siddiqeen constantly worried about a bad death in fear of becoming distant from Allah. Allah has praised this type, stating, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ, with their hearts full of fear. He would also say, just as one fears punishment of his sins, if he does not also fear his good deeds of not being accepted, then his fear is not true. He once said, the pinnacle of fear is that one fear Allah's eternal knowledge in regards to oneself, and that he does not engage in any act that is not in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ill effects of which can take him close to disbelief, to disbelieving. He also said, fearing the eternal judgment is the balance of glorification. Remove, O my Lord, from the heart slate the imprint of falsehood. A devout person once said, if martyrdom was destined at the door of the house and death on Islam at the door of the room, that I would prefer death upon martyrdom. When someone asked him why, he replied, I do not know what will happen in the time it takes to travel from the door of the house to the door of the room, and a change in the belief of Tawheed occurs in that short time. Zubair ibn Nu'aym radiallahu ta'ala rahmatullahi alayhi reports, my biggest fear and concern is not my sins. A bigger fear than the burden of sin is that of my belief in the oneness of Allah being seized and the danger of dying on anything but Tawheed. Ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi narrates from Abu Lahiya, and he said from Abu Bakr as-Sawada rahmatullahi alayhi, who says, a man led a life in solitude. He remained as such wherever he went. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala approached him and asked him, by Allah, tell me why you have isolated yourself from others. He replied, I fear for my faith lest it is seized from me and I'm not even aware of it. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala asked, do you see 100 people in your tribe who have the same fear as yourself? He eventually whittled it down to 10 names. The narrator says, I reported this incident to someone from Sham, who said, this story is pertaining Shurahbir ibn Samat, who is from the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala would say on oath, that person who does not fear for his fate being seized at the time of death has already had it seized from him. One of our learned scholars say, one who is given Tawheed has gained everything, and the one who is deprived from it has been deprived of every blessing. This is because with Tawheed in his heart, the blessing within it also be complete and not partial. The worry of As-Sufyan as-Sawri rahimahullah. At the time of death dawned upon Sufyan as-Sawri rahimahullah. He began to weep. He was asked, O Abu Abdullah, you should have hope as Allah's attribute of forgiving is greater than sins. He said, am I weeping due to my sins? If I knew with conviction that I will die on Tawheed, then it wouldn't even bother me even if I were to meet my Lord with sins equivalent to the size of mountains. He once picked up the seed from the ground and remarked, my sins are lighter than this. My faith being seized at the time of death is my only fear. May Allah have mercy on him. He was from amongst the fearful servants of Allah. He would urinate blood due to his immense fear and constantly remained ill as a result. His urine was placed before him from the people of Bukt, who remarked, this urine belongs to a monk. He would say to Hammad ibn Salma rahimallah, O Abu Salma, will someone like me also be forgiven? Will someone like me also be pardoned? Hammad ibn Salma rahmatullahi alayhi replied, yes, I have hope of that. One scholar says, if I was to know with full conviction that I'm going to experience a virtuous death, then this very matter is more beloved to me than all those things upon which the sun has risen in my lifetime. I would at that time give in charity everything I own. A will of a truthful one, of a sadiq. A saint narrates the story of a truthful seeker who feared Allah a great deal. He made a will to his brothers before his demise. Sit at my head when death nears me. Concentrate on me when the moment of death arrives. Take all my belongings, almonds and sugar, and distribute them among the children of the city, saying that this is a happy moment of someone departing this abode. Should you witness me on dying on Tawheed? But if you see me die on a state of other than Tawheed, then inform the people that I have not died on Tawheed to ensure that they are not deceived into attending my funeral. Then those who happily attend may do so. I don't want to be associated with the pretension that I have misled the Muslims. His companion asked, how will I determine whether you have died on Tawheed? He thus related a few anecdotes about those who died on it and signs to look for. The narrator says, I sat at his head looking out for the signs. I witnessed the signs of a good death and one on Tawheed, and his soul was extracted in the state of Tawheed. I then fulfilled his instructions, but related this incident only to a few close associates of mine. Final practice. Whatever sin a person constantly engages in during his life is brought before his eyes at the time of death. He witnesses this bad habit in the final moments of his life. Allah forbid, if the soul inclined towards it and the heart engages in it, in its thoughts, then this will be deemed as his very last action, even though it may be short-lived. His end will be determined by that action, and that person will have committed deeds of noble nature, will remember them when at death's door and will witness them. If his heart sets on them, or he has a liking for them, and pays attention towards them, then this will be deemed as his last action. This is a good death and end. Fear is a blessing. Some saints have commented on the verse, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. He has created death and life so that he may put you to test, by saying that Allah Most High tests his servants in life through the thought of sin, by altering the state of the heart and at the time of death through relinquishing one's tawheed. The person whose soul departs on tawheed will have navigated all trials successfully. He is a believer, and this sort of trial is wholesome. Just as Allah Most High states, وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا, so that he may test the believers by a good test. The meanings of these sciences have instilled them, yani the saints, the fear of divine knowledge, whereby they don't even think about the virtues of their noble actions, for they have recognized their Lord, and this very fear is the reward of their deeds. The fear of divine knowledge within them becomes a blessing for them from Allah Most High, thus becoming their rank, the station of fear, just as Allah Most High states, قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا, whereupon two men from among those who feared Allah and whom Allah had blessed said, the state of fear was the favor they had received. More types of fear. The second rank is those of those on the right hand, who are of a lesser rank than those who attain the station of fear, meaning having the fear of wrongdoing and sinning, warning, punishment, and a secret behind punishment, of decrease in obeying demands, of exceeding limits, and the ability of excelling in good deeds being seized, of being veiled despite consciousness due to neglect, of weak resolve after strong determination, of end of promise after terminating the state repentant, of addiction to desires, of loss after abundance, of following desires and becoming materialistic after turning away from the proof, of Allah Most High being aware of and holding accountable due to the past sins, and the fear that He, after looking at the ignoble acts, will shun Him and show His displeasure. All these fears and conducts are those who recognize Allah Most High. Some are of a higher rank than others, with the intensity of fear, and some more than the others. They say the throne is a splendid jewel filled with realities that are to manifest. A person's image at the throne is created according to how he lives. As the day of judgment will ensue, the creation will duly rise for accountability. His image from the throne will be presented before him according to how he spent his life. Seeing it would immediately remind him of his actions. The shame this will bring upon him is beyond explanation. Consequence of aborting fear. They say that when Allah grants someone his recognition, he does not seize it should he fail to act upon it. It remains by him so as to hold him accountable in accordance to its measure. For sure its blessings are terminated and further rewards are discontinued. condemned by Allah Most High is one he who initially puts under trial, but then, upon receiving rewards and bounties, he begins to boast about the reward, forgets previous errors, and is undaunted by the thought of the previous uncomfortable situations revisiting him. Allah Most High states, وَلَئِنْ أَذَكَنَاهُ نَعْمَ بَعْدَ دَرَّ أَمَسَّتْهُ لَيَكُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيَّاتُ عَنِّي إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحُ الْفَخُورُ. And if he cause him to taste a favor after adversity has touched him, he is sure to say, all evil has departed from me. More surely he is exulting and boasting. To this end, the issue of death is a far more worrying and anxious matter than anything else. To keep alive this concept, what was the state of Allah's Most High beloved servants during their final moments? And in what state did they meet their Lord, and the circumstances surrounding their deaths are compiled in this book? Through this book, you will gain some realization of Allah's close servant state during their last breath, and the ability to prepare ourselves for that moment, yani death, will be gained, Allah willing. May Allah Most High favor us with the blessings of a good death. Ameen. Sheikh Yusuf Mutala, may his lofty shadow remain forever. Circumstances surrounding death. The leader of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The start of illness. It was Monday, 29th Safar, and the noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was returning from a funeral. The headache began while still traveling, and it soon turned into an acute fever. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala reports that when I touched a towel which the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has placed on his blessed head, it emitted heat. So hot was his body that my hand couldn't bear it. I displayed astonishment, to which he responded, no one suffers more than the prophets, hence their reward is more than anyone else's. During the illness for 11 days, he came to the masjid and led salah himself. His days of illness totaled 13 or 14. The final week. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his last week in the house of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. She reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the following supplication and pass his hands over his body whenever he experienced illness. أذهب البأس رب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك اشفي شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Remove the suffering, Lord of mankind, and heal me, for you are the healer. There is no healing except your healing, the healing which does not leave any illness behind. She said, I recited this supplication during those days and blew on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand, hoping to pass them on his blessed body. He moved away my hands and supplicated, Allahumma ighfirli walhiqni bil rafiq al a'la. O Allah, forgive me and gather me with the exalted companions. 5 days before his demise. It was a Wednesday, and the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while sat in a brick or a steel tub, had water from 7 containers that was drawn from 7 wells poured onto his blessed head. This method gave him some comfort, and he felt a little bit better. He illuminated the masjid and addressed the people. A people was born before you who made the graves of their prophets and the pious places of prostration. Do not do likewise. He also said, Allah's curse be upon those Jews and Christians who have taken the graves of prophets as place of worship. Do not make my grave a place of prostration after me that it is worship. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed, Allah's wrath is upon people who have taken graves of prophets as a place of worship. Be aware, I forbid you from that. I have propagated this to you. O my Lord, bear witness. O my Lord, bear witness. He led people in prayer that day and ascended the pulpit. That was the last time he sat on the pulpit. After praising Allah, he prayed for forgiveness, for the forgiveness of the participants of Uhud, and then address. I caution you regarding the helpers, yani the Ansar. They are part of me and have been my support. They have fulfilled their responsibilities, and fulfilling their rights is what now remains. Appreciate those who do good from amongst them and overlook the errors of those who err. O migrators, yani O Muhajirun, you are increasing in numbers, whereas the helpers have become such that they will not increase in number more than today. The world and all that it contains has been presented before a servant of Allah, but he has chosen the hereafter. Only Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala understood this statement, and he said, may our parents, our lives, and our wealth be sacrificed for your sake. Having said this, he broke into tears. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to him and said, O Abu Bakr, exercise patience. He then ordered for all the gates in the masjid to be closed except the door of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. 4 days before demise. There was an increase in the severity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam illness on Thursday. In that state, he addressed those present. Come, I will write something for you so you do not go astray after me. Some of them said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a severe pain, and the Quran is with us and sufficient for us. They got into a debate and an argument, and as some people there ordered for writing equipment to be brought to the scene so that something could be written, and others said something different. As the noise and the clamor increased, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered everyone to leave. Later on that day, Thursday, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave 3 instructions. Number 1, the Jews should be expelled from the Arabian Peninsula. Number 2, delegation should always be honored and afforded hospitality in a manner similar to his. Number 3, the third instruction is not mentioned in the narration of Sulaiman al-Ahwal, but is found in the narration of Abdullah ibn Awfa radiallahu ta'ala in the Book of Wills, Kitab al-Wajaya of Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave instructions regarding the Quran. Thursday, Maghrib time. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led all the prayers till Maghrib himself on that day. He recited Surah Al-Mursalat, Al-Maghrib prayer. The last verse of this surah unveils the splendor of the glorious Quran. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. In what disclosure then after it will they believe? Thursday, Isha prayer. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended to attend the masjid 3 times for Isha prayer. He fainted each time he sat to perform wudu. In the end, he asked for Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to lead the prayer. The narration of Sahih al-Bukhari from Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala states that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam issued this command 3 times. Pursuant to this order, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala led the prayers during the pure life of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on 17 occasions. Inshallah, continue and finish this off tomorrow or next week. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.